Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
A very controversial topic, and that is identifying or spotting false prophets and false teachers. I'm going to use these two words synonymously. Okay, when I say false teachers, false prophets, they're going to equal the same thing. They're both the same. A lot of people think that false teachers or false prophets are rare, but I'm going to show you that in Scripture, they're much more common than you would think. Now, a false teacher, a false prophet in Scripture is not identified as somebody that you don't agree with or somebody that has different theology than you. Today on social media, if somebody has different theology than you, and those of you asking what happened to the lights right there, they fell down. They're all on the ground, every single one of them. The whole column came crashing down in the middle of the night. So they're on the ground there. That's just kind of how things have been going. Everything's been breaking at my house. Everything's been breaking on my studio. It's life, right? We come against the attack. But anyway, with that all being said, on social media right now, everybody's considered a false prophet if they don't agree with us. And that is not what the Bible teaches about false teachers or false prophet. It doesn't identify them if you don't believe Christians could have demons, if you don't believe in prophecy, if you don't believe in tongues, false teacher, false prophet. And a lot of us do that. We label people so fast as a false teacher or false prophet without realizing there are biblical parameters to being a false teacher or false prophet. And that's what the Bible is going to show us. And spoiler alert, it's not what all these YouTubers that are calling everybody out and calling everyone false are saying. That's not what the Bible identifies as false prophets. But the Bible does say that there's going to be many. Matthew 24:11, Jesus said, and many false prophets shall rise up and deceive many. So it's not just a few. It's not just here and there, a random guy with a tiny ministry or somebody in a trench coat trying to deceive people. Jesus says there's going to be a rise of false prophets and false teachers. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to spot them. I want to be alert. I don't want to live my life under the teaching of a false pastor, false prophet, or false teacher. Some of you might go to a church where your pastor is a false teacher, is a false prophet. My job tonight is not to call out names and point my finger at everybody. My job is to give you biblical parameters and signs so that you can spot it yourself. This is what we need, is discernment. We need discernment because there's so many voices online. The social media explosion has been amazing because so many people are being reached by the gospel, but it's also given everyone a platform. It's given people that don't know the Bible a platform. It's given people that are critical and negative and toxic and poisonous a platform. It's given people that should not have a voice a voice. So we want to make sure that we're able to discern these things. And some of you might be listening saying, well, why does this topic even matter to me? The reason being is it's possible that you are listening to false teachers, false prophets, we'll use those synonymously, or you're in a church where your pastor is giving out false teachings. Okay, there is a watered-down gospel right now that is super popular in the American church. It's the gospel of convenience that a lot of churches are preaching. It's not the way to life, guys. It's not the gospel of the Bible. It doesn't reflect the God of the Scripture, and you can live your entire life following a false gospel, following the gospel of the American Church Incorporated, following the gospel of ease, a gospel that says you don't have to die to yourself, a gospel that says you can live however you want. It's all about you. A gospel that focuses on life on earth, not the life to come. And that's the false gospel that's being proclaimed in many churches right now. The Bible talks about how people are turned over to fables and myths. There was a diluted gospel. But I want to let you know that there's a real revival happening right now in our midst where people are waking up to the reality of who God really is. Where they say, Isaiah, I've been in church my entire life, and this is what I'm passionate about. And I've never encountered God. I've never encountered God. I've never experienced the God of the Bible. And so that's what we want. I want people to wake up and say, I've been under a false, watered-down teaching. I've been under a manipulated gospel for so long. And again, I'm not here to call, bash, and do all this stuff out. We'll talk about that later. There's so many people building their ministries on calling other people false. But let's look at what the Bible calls false. Did anyone build a ministry of pointing their finger at other people? No. But sadly, here's the thing. It gets views and it gets clicks. Guys, you can explode on social media if you spend your ministry tearing other people down. If you spend your ministry exposing everybody, the algorithm loves it. People love drama. I purposely won't watch these drama videos because I know that's what the algorithm wants. That's what humans want. The flesh wants to watch a video about exposing somebody, another minister falling. Why would I want to relish, get views and money off of somebody else falling? Why would I want to build my ministry on that? Why would I want to build my algorithm on that? Why would I want to build a group of people that love watching preachers fall? I don't take pleasure out of watching preachers fall. I don't take pleasure out of people falling into the false gospel, but I want to be discerning. I want to have ears to hear. I want to know what God is saying, and I want to know if I'm being deceived. I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want to be deceptive. Guys, you know how many times I prayed, Lord, I don't want to be deceptive, God. If there's any error in my theology, God, show me. Lord, correct me. God, guide me and lead me on the right path. I don't want to be a deceptive preacher. I don't want to be a false teacher, a false prophet. It's real, guys. I'm not sitting here arrogant, like, oh, I would never teach anything false. I go back all the time and look at certain things that I taught before. I'm like, oh man, I was saying that in the wrong way or teaching that the wrong way. And God keeps growing us and showing us and guiding us. Let's stay humble. I've never once for a moment been like, there's no way I've ever taught anything false. There's no way I could become a false. No, Lord, keep me humble. God, show me the errors of my ways. I don't want to lead any of you astray. Paul was saying, like, look, what fear he had of the high judgment we get as teachers. Paul said, don't long to be a teacher because we have a higher judgment. Guys, I know that I have a higher judgment on judgment day for teaching. And so I don't want to lead anybody astray. I never want to lead anybody astray. God forbid I became a false teacher or a false prophet. God, keep me humble. Keep me holy, God. Keep me walking according to your will. And so a lot of false teachers, guys, they don't know they're false. It's like the Pharisees. They didn't know they were religious. They were accidentally religious. So there's people that are false teachers that don't even know it. There's some that are probably evil in their intentions, and we'll talk about that as well. But some people just don't know it. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. Now, of course, there's secondary issues that you could teach wrong. That does not qualify you as a false teacher because you have a secondary issue that maybe is right or maybe wrong. Thank you, Jared. Like pre-trib or post-trib. If you teach post-trib or pre-trib, that doesn't make you a false teacher. That's a secondary issue. If you teach that Jesus wasn't sinless, that makes you a false teacher. So there's secondary issues. Like, do you believe in deliverance? That's a secondary issue. You're not going to go to hell if you do or don't believe a Christian could have a demon or needs deliverance. That's secondary. So we've made secondary issues primary, and we call everybody a false prophet on YouTube and false teacher on YouTube because we don't understand the importance of secondary and primary, which we should do a whole video on that, okay? But the Bible says there'll be many. There's two categories. There's those doing the deceiving and those being deceived. And I don't look at any of those and say, I'm not any of those. That would be pride. If I looked at those two categories, those being deceived and those doing the deceiving, and I started getting arrogant and proud, we have to keep people in our life that can speak into us, that can help guard us, that can help guide us, that can help direct us. And so we want to make sure that we're not escaping from accountability. I have accountability in my life. If I start teaching anything crazy, I have people that in a matter of minutes will be calling me and texting me right after my stream. I have pastors that text me during my stream. One of my pastors will literally text me during the stream and be like, hey, I think you said that wrong. Hey, you need to correct that. Hey, you said the wrong name there. It's like, oh, as I'm streaming, I'm getting correction. That's great. That's good. We want that. That's protection. There's protection when you have correction. But false teachers and prophets, I'll use them synonymously tonight, interchangeably, they don't have that attitude. They're arrogant. They know it all. They're proud. They're above everyone else. They're always right. And no one can talk to them or correct them. They're gods in their own eyes. And they're more concerned with building their kingdom than building God's kingdom. When you talk to somebody or hear somebody online that's always right, they always have the answer. They're never wrong. There's no humility. You know what, guys, I've noticed too, with a lot of the discernment ministries or people that are always right, the prideful people I see online, they never pray. I literally never see them pray on their live streams. I never see them pray on their channel. And I'm thinking in my mind, if they're not willing to pray on their live stream, if they're not willing to pray on their videos, it's likely they don't have a prayer life outside of their videos or outside of their live stream. Like if you can't even do it on your Christian channel, are you really praying? And that's the thing, when you get into a place of prayer, the Lord will correct you. The Lord will humble you if you try to exalt yourself. and the Lord will humble you as you get into prayer. So we need to be in the place of prayer. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe, and I'm going to give you tons of ways to identify or see if somebody's a false teacher or not. So you don't even have to have me make a video saying, what do you think about this guy? You're not going to have to even ask me about anybody after tonight, because I'm going to give you the signs. You can basically compare the signs to the people that you want to know are they're false or not, and your questions will be answered if you take notes tonight. You take notes, whatever speaker, name a preacher, you can just look at what I'm going to give you from the scripture and tie it to them, and that will tell you whether they are false or not. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we are called to test the spirits. We're called to say, is what they're saying true? Don't just believe it. Do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every preacher. Don't believe every pastor. Don't believe me. Test it. Test what I'm saying with scripture. If it doesn't line up, spit out what I'm saying. Don't receive what I'm saying. But you need to test what's being said. We're not talking about fault finding. You can find fault in any preacher, any teacher. I have no interest in pointing out every little thing about somebody. I have no interest in even calling people out by name. I'm interested in breaking the back of deception that people have fallen into by following leaders and pastors that are deceptive in nature and are leading people astray. Now, some of you might wonder, and I've wondered this, the Bible answers the question, why would God allow false teachers? Why does God allow teachers to deceive people? Why doesn't God just strike them dead like Ananias and Sapphira? Why doesn't God just remove their influence? Like, why could they have these big channels? Why could they have these large followings? Why does God allow it? Well, Deuteronomy 13, chapter 13, verse 1 answers that. It says this, if a prophet or one who foretells dreams among you announces to you a sign or a wonder, and in the sign or the wonder they've spoken, this is Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, the sign or wonder they've spoken takes place, and the prophet says, so they speak a word, it comes to pass, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God, look at this, is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. So God allows false prophets, that's people that prophesy and their prophecies come to pass, but the people are false prophets. How do we know they're false prophets? Because they're leading us to worship other gods. God allows it. Here's why God allows false teachers and false prophets. Because it's to test whether you truly love him or whether you'll really serve him or not. So corrupt people get drawn to corrupt leadership. And when you don't truly love God, when you don't really follow God or know God, you're attracted to false corrupt leaders and you follow them. So God says, I'm going to allow you to follow these people. And they're going to cause you to follow other gods. And what they're saying is going to come to pass. God's going to allow it. They're going to prophesy and it's going to come to pass. You're going to say, they must be a prophet. But then all of a sudden, they started out good, but they start preaching another gospel. And they start saying, hey, we should go worship other gods. We should go pray to other gods. We should allow compromise into our life. And then you keep following them and you follow other gods and you go down that path of compromise, sin, and corruption. God says, I allowed that to test you. I was just testing you. So God allows false teachers. There's plenty of them on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and all these things. And God keeps allowing their ministry to grow. And it's a way of God sifting the people of God. So I don't want to follow after these people. I want to follow after what the word says. I don't want to be deceived. But again, I'm not walking around. Everybody's false. Everybody's wrong. Okay, look at this. Look at what Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 says. The Mormon religion is a cult. Okay, that's like way out of the realm of false teachers, false prophets. I'm talking about Christians tonight that are teaching falsely in the body of Christ. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30, look what it says. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? God goes, my people love false prophets. Guys, why do we love false teachers? Why do we love false prophets? The Bible declares that people love them. Tell me more about how I could serve my own gods and have God. It's like, that's the false message. The false teaching is you could have God and the gods of this world. You could have both. You don't have to lay down your idols. You don't have to give up everything. It's easy. Just follow Jesus. It's a broad way. That's the false gospel. This is the greasy grace gospel. That's, guys, people preaching that greasy grace are false. They are false teachers. Come out from under them. Come out from among them, the greasy grace. Easy believism. We talked about that a couple weeks ago in James. It's like, oh, just believe and you don't have to do it. That's not what the Bible teaches. And the irony is, people constantly call me false because I teach that you have to actually follow Christ. You have to actually have a transformed life. You're not just saved because you're like, oh, I pray to pray. I can do whatever I want. That's not the Bible. That is not the gospel. And people call me false because I preach that. I preach the narrow road. And like, he's false. It's easy. All you have to do is just do whatever you want. It's fine. You can drink, you cuss, you can smoke, you can sleep around, do whatever you want. It's a lie, guys. It's a lie. It's a false teaching and a false gospel. It's the easy gospel. It's smooth. It's watered down. It appeases to the flesh. It prophesies, look at this, to people in complete sin and says, God has all these amazing things for you. It's an appealing to the flesh gospel. And people love it. We love it. Why do we love it? Because it's easy. Wait, so I could still fornicate? I could still lie? I could still do whatever I want? I could still disobey God and I'm still fine? Oh, I like that. I like that, church. Never call out my sin. Guys, a church, listen to this, where you're always in sin, but always feel comfortable about it is not a biblical church. If you are in sin, just stay with me. Don't get off. Share the broadcast, okay? If you are in sin and you go to church and you feel completely fine, not offended, not angry, not pricked, poked, convicted, that is a false gospel. That is a false teaching. If your pastor never convicts you, always something nice, always something smooth, then ladies and gentlemen, your pastor is a false teacher. He's a false teacher. There needs to be a conviction in our hearts when we're living in sin and we're hearing this easy gospel. There's a cost associated with this. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7:15? Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. So not the trench coat. It's the normal, average, nice-looking pastor who doesn't come and say, I'm a false teacher, a false prophet. They come looking just like a Christian, looking just like the sheep. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, their end will correspond to their deeds. Paul says, listen, they look like legitimate ministers. This is why the church is okay with Satan being in their midst. Because Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Don't just think it's innocent. We need to have discernment. We need to know the word of God. We need to know the word of God. You need to be like, when you hear the message that's false, wait a minute, that's not God. I know that voice. That's the voice of the snake. That's not God. You need to be able to distinguish that. Now, let me answer this question that I know you're asking. Is it biblical to call people out, right? False teachers, false prophets, we're talking about them. I'm going to give you all these signs to spot them. We're going to look at Jude. We're going to look at Jeremiah. I'm going to give you my own list of signs from the Bible. Is it biblical to call them out? It is biblical to call them out, but it's not biblical to build an entire ministry where it's all you do. Paul did call people out. He called out Demas in 2 Timothy 1:15 and said, Demas has deserted me and is in love with this world. He called out Phygellus and Hermogenes in 2 Timothy 1:15 for turning away from him. In 1 Timothy 1:19, he called out Alexander and Hymenaeus and said they have shipwrecked their faith. And in Timothy 2:17, he said that they will spread their poison, Philetus and Hymenaeus' talk will spread like gangrene. We see a couple verses where Paul called people out by name, but these people were erroneous. They were completely backslidden, completely false. And we see two to four verses where Paul called out false teachers. Of all of Paul's writings, think of all that Paul wrote, all the letters he wrote, the thousands of verses Paul writes, hundreds of verses Paul writes, and yet we only see a couple verses Paul calling people out by name. So he was not making it the bedrock of his ministry. He was not making it the bedrock of his ministry. When you do that, you end up creating a toxic, poisonous community. In fact, there was a guy just a couple weeks ago who made videos on everybody, made a bunch on me a long time ago, made them on everybody, just got removed from his church because he was in an adulterous relationship. He's literally committing adultery on his wife while making videos. Now, this guy, every one of his videos was calling somebody out. Literally every single video was exposing a false megachurch pastor, a false teacher. He hasn't made any on me in the recent years, but like a couple years ago, he made about 20 on me. Okay, and the reason why I was false to him was I believed in casting out demons and Christians could have demons. So of course I was false because of that. And this guy's here cheating on his wife, making videos about everybody else. Then another guy I told you about that called me and all the demon slayers fake from a large stage at a conference got removed from his ministry because he was making a bunch of fake profiles. So you do see these guys that are constantly calling out people. They do end up being exposed themselves. It's not biblical. It's toxic to make your entire ministry based on calling people out. So another thing we have to remember is the Apostle Paul did call people out by name, but he was also an apostle. So he had position in the church. He was not Joe Schmo on Facebook trying to go viral. And you get drunk on the views, guys. You make one video calling something out, it gets tons of views. Then you look at all your other videos, and I know this because I'm a YouTuber, and you see that they get hardly any views. You're like, man, I spent 8 hours preparing the Bible teaching. It got 10,000 views, and I called this guy false and got 400,000 views, and it took me 10 minutes to call him false. That you just get, oh man, I'm making a bunch of money, and I'm going to keep making videos like this. And you go down that road, and you try to find a place where you're relevant. Unfortunately, you don't want to gain relevancy and being the guy that's always bashing and condemning other ministries. Now, Philippians 1:15 says this, so I want you to keep this in your mind as I give you some signs of a false teacher. Keep this in your mind, Philippians 1:15. It's true, this is Paul. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former, that's people preaching with envy and rivalry, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up some trouble for me while I'm in chains. Verse 18 of Philippians 1. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of that, I rejoice. Paul was saying, listen, there's people that preach with false motives. They're doing it to deceive people. They're doing it for money. They're doing it to do whatever it is that they're doing for views, right? For views, for ad revenue, all of that stuff. They're making money calling everybody else false. But Paul says, listen, but they're preaching Christ for the wrong reasons, but all I care about is that Christ is being preached. So even if there is somebody preaching Christ and they're doing it with wrong motives, Paul's like, at least Christ is being preached. So I want us to keep that in our mind, even as we're considering people that preach Christ that have false motives. Okay, so let me give you, how many do I want to give you? I'm going to give you quickly here some signs that you can spot out for a false teacher, false pastor. Okay, I'm going to give you, I have seven here that are going to be quick. Then we're going to look at what Jude says. We're going to look at the signs that Jude gives us. Then if we have time, we're going to look at the signs that Jeremiah gives us. So get your notepads out, write down these things, because this is what you're going to be able to do. You're going to be able to say, whoever you think might be false, a false teacher, false prophet, you're going to be able to look at these signs and match them to that person, and you'll be able to spot whether they're a false teacher or a false prophet, okay? Sign number one, these are my own through the Bible, and then I'm going to give you Jude's, and I'm going to give you Jeremiah's. I have a bunch for each one. Sign one is they exploit people for financial gain. They exploit people for financial gain. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, in their greed, they make up clever lies to get a hold of your money, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. False teachers are not just after gaining followers, they're after gaining funds. They're looking to drain you financially. That is what they're after. They're doing it for the money. They're doing it for the money. These are people who say, you have to give a certain amount of money or you can't be set free. Now, I'm not talking about charging for deliverance. That's another topic I've talked about before. I'm talking about people saying, if you don't give X amount of dollars, the demon won't leave. That is false. That's false. I'm talking about people that say, I need you to give me $100 so I can give you a prophetic word. That is false. That is not biblical. These people are looking for financial gain, not followers. They're looking for funds. Well, they are looking for followers too, but they're not just after followers. They manipulate people with emotional pleas. They're like, sow for a word. God's going to open up a portal if you give this. God's going to unlock your new dimension. It's all to get your money. That's what it is. Okay, this whole talk of portals and dimensions and unlocking destinies and all this stuff, it's false, it's demonic, it's not of God, it's emotional pleas to manipulate you to get your money. The moment giving becomes a pressure tactic or a strategy to manipulate someone is the moment the Spirit of God is not in that giving. Now, should we give? Yes. But we don't twist people's arms. We don't charge them up emotionally. We don't deceive them. And we don't say, if you give this, I'll give you this, or I'll sow this into you, or I'm selling prophetic words or calls, or, you know, even like, I gotta be careful where I go here, because you'd be like, I know who he's talking about. Even people charging for, you know, a one-on-one, like, I'm gonna charge a couple $100 for you to have a one-on-one session with me. You could get a call with me, right? If I did that, if I got on here and said, hey, my time's valuable, I got 4 kids, a wife, I'm trying to make ends meet, $400, $500 to get a call with me for 30 minutes. Guys, I would be booked for months because people would want to get on there and ask for prayer and want to talk to me. That's so grimy. That's so slimy. That's so weird. Now, it's like, is that sin to do? I don't know, but it's like reeks of a false teacher. It reeks of a false prophet. Charging money to get on a call with me? That's so cringe. Even if that doesn't make you a false teacher, it makes you cringe. But it's the exploitation for financial gain. It's exploiting people. It's selling deliverance, selling prophecy, commercializing prophecy. It's turning ministry into a marketplace. Once again, I'm not talking about, you know, selling the book, selling the t-shirts that cost money to make, the book costs money to make, and all that to provide for a ministry. I'm talking about exploiting people for financial gain. Okay? I'm talking about turning ministry into a marketplace and doing it for money and pressuring people. And I don't want to go too deep into that because there's a lot of directions that we can go. And I just have my own conviction of what God's told me to do. And that's it. But I believe that people that exploit for financial gain twist arms. Let me say it this way. If you're at a church where they're spending 30, 40 minutes every week at the offering to try to get money, to me, that's a red flag. If you're at a church, there's this mega church, you guys probably know because the clips always go viral, where, you know, how do I even say it? Because multiple, you know, this is so bad, guys. I want to say what I want to say, but I just thought about it. There's like 3 different mega churches that have done this. So I'm like, man, I'm going to be saying multiple mega churches. They're so bad. These mega churches are so bad these days that if I just think of one, I'm thinking of like 5. But one of them I was thinking of one, and then the other popped in my head, where they put a whole basketball court on the stage, and the pastor's playing basketball, you know, preaching. It's like, that's a lot of money. Okay, I saw a pastor put a roller coaster on the stage, a legitimate roller coaster, and was riding it, talking about how life's like a roller coaster. To me, that's my tithe money. I'm giving money, and you're going to use it for a roller coaster? You're going to use it for a basketball court? So to me, it's like red flag. Red flag, and I could go a long way. Okay, so one, exploiting people for financial gain. That's a red flag of a false teacher. It's a sign of a false prophet. 2 is twisting the scripture to fit your narrative. Okay, 2 Peter 3:16, ignorant and unstable people distort as they do scripture, other scriptures, to their own destruction. False teachers and false prophets rarely deny the Bible. Instead of denying it, they twist it. They twist it like they're at Auntie Anne's Pretzels, making it say whatever they want it to say, doing theological gymnastics, making theological pretzels for their audience, making the Bible say and justify whatever they want to justify. If they want to justify smoking, they will. If they want to justify drinking, they will. If they want to justify fornication, they will. If they want to justify cussing, remember that video I did about the pastor that's always cussing and justifying it? They'll justify it. They'll twist it. They don't deny it. They twist the scripture. That's sign number 2. It's not about what's being said, it's about what's being left out. And they say things, but they leave out. They take the verses out of context, they use partial truths, and they only preach the convenient passages. Once again, if you're at a church where the pastor never talks about sin, never talks about hell, never talks about all the passages, it could be that he is a false teacher. There's no judgment being preached. There's no repentance being preached. Somebody needs to share this with somebody. There's no sin being preached. There's no talk about hell. It's an overemphasis on grace and blessing while silencing holiness and accountability. That's silent. We don't talk about holiness. That doesn't bring the big givers in. That's a scary place to be. That's a scary place to be when you have people doing that. And if their theology is threatened by scripture, it's manipulation. It's not truth. We should not be threatened by scripture. Take the scripture, compare it to what I'm saying. I'm not worried. Okay. So two is they twist scripture. And I have a lot of signs here, guys, but I'm just giving you some of my observations. And then we're going to look at Jude and what definitively Jude says. Number three, they promote themselves more than Jesus. They promote themselves. A true teacher of the Bible is not one that craves the spotlight. One thing I'm grateful for in my ministry is I never, ever wanted to be in the spotlight. I still don't want to be in the spotlight. Told you guys that before. I would rather be in the sound booth. I was an atheist the night God called me. I was becoming a deputy sheriff, becoming a police officer. I still got the haircut. And I did not want to be a preacher. To this day, and I'm just going to be honest, and I want you guys to hear my heart on this. Please hear me with sincerity and just listen to what I'm saying. Listen with your eyeballs tonight, what I say, what I'm about to say. I don't want to preach. I don't want to teach. I don't want to have a YouTube channel. I don't want to be on the stage. I would be happy just to fade into the background and work maintenance at the church. I'm dead serious. There's zero desire in me to have followers. There's zero desire in me to be on stage. There's zero desire in me to do all the stuff I'm doing. I'm not resentful that I have to do this, but I'm called by God. The only reason why I'm doing this is because the Lord called me January 12, 2011, and I can't shake it. I can't get rid of it. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. But at the end of the day, I don't want to make a ministry that's about me, that's promoting me. None of that. I can care less, guys. I get zero pleasure out of getting a lot of views. Does not matter to me. Out of people, oh, that's so great, brother. You're amazing. Thank you. I don't care. I'm not trying to be rude, but what it's made me grateful the way God called me, because I never wanted to do this. I never strived. It wasn't my dream to become a preacher or a pastor. The Lord audibly called my name, and I just do it because I got to do it. It's my destiny. It's my calling. Now, do I enjoy it? Of course. Is there fruit? Of course. Is there pleasure? Of course, because I'm doing what God wants me to do. But there's not this inward desire to promote myself. In the last, how many years has it been? 15, 16 years? I've never once invited myself to preach anywhere. I've never once sent out emails, hey, you should come have me preach. Never, never, never. And when you start elevating your brand, your name, your platform above God, that's when you begin to false territory. False teachers, they don't say, look at Jesus. They say, look at me. They love the applause, but they can't handle the rebuke. They love it. When people applaud them and applaud them and promote them, they love it, but they can't handle a biblical rebuke. You got to have people around you that are willing to rebuke you. They're all they want is influence. They don't want intimacy. They want influence. They chase influence instead of intimacy with God. And we need to be chasing intimacy. We need to build disciples, not followers. Okay. So when a ministry revolves around one personality instead of the presence of God, it's idolatry. And this is what I talked about a while ago when it was like very popular to have a camera follow you while you're doing deliverance. If you come to my services, you're not going to have a one-man show. I have a prayer team most every service, and the prayer team is going to pray for you, and the church is going to get equipped. It's not the one-man show. It's not the Isaiah Salivar show. In fact, when I get done preaching live, I get on my knees and respond to my own altar call before I pray for anybody. And then I tell people, don't grab my long sleeve. Don't grab my shirt. I have no power. The prayer team's here to pray for you. And then I make my way through the crowd and pray for people. But it can't be the Isaiah Salivar show. It can't be this following this one man of God around. That is a red flag to be. That's false teacher. That's false prophet. Okay. Number four. So number three is they promote themselves more than Christ. They say, follow me. They don't say, follow Christ. Yes, I'm live, Mario. Number four is they discourage repentance. What did Jezebel, Revelation 2:20? She misleads my servants. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. False teachers, that Jezebel spirit refuses repentance. They discourage it. They don't preach on it. They get into that greasy grace. When you start hearing people like, grace, 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 grace. They talk about it more than anyone in scripture talks about it. Then you know false teacher red flags. These are just signs to spot a false teacher. Start listening to them preach. They don't really talk about repentance much. They preach reassurance, but no repentance. They never confront sin. They never call people to holiness. This guy never challenges compromise. He's preaching a lot of like, you're fine as you are. Grace covers all. Don't judge. It's a removal of the cross from Christianity. That price is pick up your cross. Hear that? I'm serious. I views and listening to a lot of different very much. Am I wrong? Engage with me, guys. Am I wrong? You don't really hear much about the people calling out and making you bondage, and they call it freedom. Call bondage freedom. They're coming. I just don't see that. If you from the last 50, I would. When I say I'm Christian landscape, you defined. Streams jumping around, that's not good. I'm smooth on my end. So, because, no, my buffer. Usually it shows that I'm disconnected and you guys are like, I still hear you. Picking up stream skipping, no. All right, hold on. Not good, that's not good, that's not good. Oh no, did I? Why is it buffering? What? It shows smooth. It must be YouTube. Give it a second. All right, I have it on my phone, so we'll wait a second until it's smooth. It shows that we're smooth, it shows that nothing's wrong. The only thing that's wrong is it's 83 degrees in my studio. Man. I might catch a break on this. Help me, Lord. Super discouraged. All right. I'm not going to go to the next point until it cleans up. On my end, it shows completely smooth. So, we'll get back. We'll be good. We're back. Clearing up? Okay, we're smooth. All right, you didn't miss anything. We're good. Okay. It shows smooth on my end, which is good. The only thing that's, like I said, is 83 degrees in here. So, that's the only thing that's frustrating me. Okay, they discourage repentance. They don't confront sin. They make people comfortable with their bondage. Number five, so that was number four, they discourage repentance. Again, we're going to look at what Jude has to say. I don't know if we'll get to Jeremiah tonight or what Jeremiah has to say. We could make a part two to this because there's a lot more I want to say and a lot more notes I have down. But number five is they operate in charisma, not character. They operate in charisma, not character. They're more concerned with gifting. What is Matthew 7:22? Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? But he says, I never knew you. It's the gifts. Gifts without fruit are not God's approval. God is looking for fruit more than gifts, and there's a lot of people that can cast out demons but still be a false teacher. Yeah, you can cast out demons and still be a false teacher. God is looking for character. God is looking for character. Because, you know, signs and wonders and miracles, is it working now? Yeah, it's working. Okay, I got it there ready to go. Signs and wonders and all this stuff can also happen from a familiar spirit. It can also happen. And so when you have no humility, no submission, no holiness, and no intimacy with God in the leader, run, right? There's a lot of gifted people. There's guys that are extremely charismatic, but you listen to them teach and you're like, there's something not right here. There's something not adding up here. There's missing character. It's like I told you guys before, it's like, they make videos, they have dirty jokes in their videos, don't know how to treat a waiter, they don't know how to treat their family. Look at their family. That's another good sign there. That's a little bonus here on the charisma without character, is their wife resents them because they don't have the character at home that they have on the pulpit or on the stage. There's a missing character, there's a character flaw there, and they need to work on their character, and we all do. Every day, Lord, help my character. But this is a massive red flag for false teachers. Okay, number six, this is my list of spotting false teachers and false prophets, is they create dependency on themselves instead of God. Write that down. They create dependency on themselves. What did Galatians 1:10? Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? I'm not trying to win approval of men. I'm not trying to make you dependent on me. False teachers, they want people to follow them, not Christ. They want people addicted to their words, their prophecies, their live streams. They're really on their own little boat. They're on their own little ship. They don't really connect with many people. They want everybody to follow them. They want you to keep coming back to them for more deliverance. Keep coming back to them for more healing. Keep coming back to them, not God. Don't be dependent on God. And this is what they say. Things like, don't listen to other ministries. Only I, this is a telltale sign. Only I have this revelation. Only I, oh man, it kicked a bunch of people. Refresh, guys, refresh. We just lost like 400 people. That's unfortunate. Only I have this key. Only I have this wisdom. God is only I have this download that God has given me. You got to make sure that those people run. They want you to be dependent on them and not dependent on the Lord. Major red flag. They don't emphasize a walk with God. They don't emphasize a walk with God. Okay. Number 7. Last one. You ready? Number 7, write this down. This is the last one I'm going to give you, then I'm going to look at Jude, and Jude has some more signs we're going to get here. Number 7 is they're spiritually dead, but keep ministering. Okay, what does Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 say? You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. False prophets can operate while being spiritually dry. And a lot of times people don't realize that they're spiritually dry, that they don't have that oil, they don't have that anointing. Have you ever heard somebody, did I freeze again? Let's see. No, we're good. Have you ever heard somebody that everything they're saying sounds good, but there's just like, there's a dryness about them. There's something just not right here. It's like time. You listen to an hour sermon, it feels like 4 hours. It's just dry. It's dry. They're spiritually dry, but they continue ministering, acting like everything is fine because they rely on performance instead of God's presence. They rely on performance. They rely on personality. They rely on themselves. They're hollow. Loud on the outside, hollow on the inside. Okay, you know, it's possible you can go viral and still end up going to hell. Think about that. You can be a pastor that goes viral with preaching clips and still end up in hell. And I'm not exempt either. Because I have a bunch of followers doesn't mean God's like, well done, come on in because you have a million subscribers. No, I have to stay in relationship with Christ. I am not going to try to think that a gold play button is going to get me into heaven. No, I got to have a relationship with God. I got to live right. I got to walk right. Cling to Christ. He's my confidence. He's my confidence. So we have to discern. A preacher is like, do they have that oil or have they been dry? Some people have old oil. They haven't been with God in years and they're still preaching and they're still teaching. And that's, to me, my biggest fear is getting up and preaching or teaching and the oil being gone. Losing that presence of God. I can't do it. I can't get up and preach and get up here and teach and not have the oil, the anointing, the favor, the grace, the power of God as I'm teaching or preaching. Some people can. I just can't do it. I need that in my life. I need that Holy Spirit. And again, guys, forgive me for sweating. It's 85 degrees right now in my studio. So I am soaked in sweat. It is what it is, okay? Now, those are my 7 signs to spotting false teacher, but I want to give you some signs from Jude. Because Jude has some very, very specific signs that are a little bit different than mine that will also reiterate mine. So have your notebooks ready. Very specific signs of a false teacher. And this is going to be really raising red flags for some of the people you listen to. So we're going to find this in Jude, verse 3. Look at this. He says, dear friends, I've been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share. But now I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. So Jude says, listen, I want to talk about other topics, but I have to warn you about something going on in the church. These are men who are false, and I'm urging you to defend your faith. I have a fan blowing on me full speed right now, but the problem is my computer puts out, it's like putting a massive heater on, and it's putting out tons of heat from my stream and recording, and the fan's just blowing the heat right onto me. So it's just recirculating the heat and blowing it on me. So I have a big fan on me, but it feels like it's the winds of the Sahara Desert on me right now. But Jude says, I have to stop and I have to talk to you about this, okay? I want you to defend your faith. I want you, we're called to fight back against bad doctrine. And this is what Jude says in verse 4. So he says, I'm going to tell you to defend your faith. Verse 4. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches. Think about the wording there. Some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches saying that God's... So this is what the false teachers say, Jude says, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they've denied our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. So he defines them. Sign number one, this is from Jude, directly from Jude, right from the Bible. Sign number one, write this down. Jude says, first sign that these people, I'm telling you about, I got to warn you about them. They've wormed their way in. They're false teachers, false prophets. Is they're ungodly. They are ungodly. Right off the bat, first indication, they do not live godly lives. When you see godly things, when you think about being godly, think of the fruit of the Spirit. Think of character. Think of the way we live our lives. Think of the things we watch and listen to. It's mind-blowing to me, guys. Just something so simple that a lot of megachurch pastors and just, I don't even want to say megachurch, a lot of pastors on social media, they'll post videos or posts with secular music, ungodly, explicit music. And they're like, you know, picture them and their family, explicit music. Picture of them doing whatever their hobby is, explicit music. And then this is what blows my mind, guys. Turn on the AC. I'm scared. I'm scared to turn it on because I don't want the power to go out again. I'm scared. Think about how crazy this is. These pastors, not only are they, you know, swearing, smoking, listening to ungodly stuff, watching ungodly movies. Like some of them talk about movies. I'm like, you watch that? You're a man of God and you watch that? That's ungodly. It's not godly to watch those movies. It's not godly to listen to that music. Look at this. It gets worse. Maybe they don't know this on Instagram. Maybe they don't know this. But you can go on their page and see who they follow. You know that? You could go on these false teachers, false prophets. I'm not saying their names. You just look at the signs and you can see who they follow. Am I the only one? Type one in the chat if you agree with me on what I'm about to say. I look at who some of them follow. All of these ungodly celebrities, halfway bikini models, fitness models. I'm like, what? You follow her and him? I can't even click on the page. I can't even click on the page because it's so inappropriate. This is not cold water. It's warm water. I can't even. Am I the only one? Type one if you blows your mind. Just go to a pastor's page. Go to a famous pastor's page right now. The cool pastor. Okay. That's definitely not me. And go look at who they're following. The celebrities. Like a lot of them, it's all celebrities. I was looking at a pastor recently who followed me. I didn't follow him back. I was looking at who he follows. I think he followed like 3 Christian pastors and the rest were all celebrities. And I'm like, okay. So that's your feed, what you're looking at, and we're just using Instagram. If they're willing to do that on Instagram, God knows what they're doing behind the scenes, right? If you're willing to be on public Instagram looking at this stuff, following these people, and if you follow them, it means you want to see what they post. Is that not what it means? Am I on something? And then you go like, oh, they want to see those? You want to see celebrity parties and all that? That's crazy. Well, we go to reach the world. Where does it say follow the world? Where does it say follow the ungodly? I don't want to follow the ungodly into hell. That's just such a simple example. I'm not getting too deep in it, but it blows my mind that there's no holiness. There's no, don't you have respect for your eye gates on what your eyes see? Be careful with the eyes what you see. I got to be careful with my eyes see. So they're ungodly and God is looking for character. We already talked about that. Call me legalistic. I don't mind. One person came against me and was like, oh, I don't hang out with Isaiah preaching anymore. He's legalistic. All he talks about is holiness. That's a great compliment, brother. Thank you. I'm so glad God removed you from my life. Call me legalistic. Call me. It doesn't hurt me. It's a compliment. I don't mind. Call me legalistic. Call me this. Call me that. Whatever. Whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me ungodly. Don't call me ungodly. What are they doing? They're allowing people to sin and call it the grace of God. They call it, grace, guys, does not empower you to live in sin. It empowers you to live holy. Grace does not say keep on sinning. Paul says, should we keep sinning because of the grace of God? No! No! My wife's probably like, what are you screaming about in there? No, we should not keep on sinning. And they allow you, because of grace, to keep on sinning. And if your pastor does that, he is false. He is false. Look at this, Jeremiah 23, 14. We're not getting through all of this tonight, but we're getting through most of it. We'll do a part two at some point. Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I've seen a horrible thing. The committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom and their inhabitants like Gomorrah. So these prophets are living immoral lifestyles. They're living immoral. And that's, sadly, guys, that's a lot of the famous ministers. It's like, who will stand up for righteousness in this generation? I could care less if I lose every follower, if I'm the guy, the reject, I'm invited to the cool podcast. I don't even want to go on the cool podcast, to be honest, because there's just too much compromise. I'm going to keep standing on the word. I'll keep being the weird one. I'll keep being the reject, whatever it takes. I don't care. And I know that sounds like I'm being a little baby because I have a huge following, but it doesn't matter. People need truth. People need truth, not compromise. I've outed myself from a lot of Christian podcasts because of what I preach and because what I preach against, because they're doing what I preach against. So they're not going to invite me. Like, why don't you get invited onto that show? Probably because I preach against a lot of the stuff they do. Okay. So one is they're ungodly. That's what Jude says. They're ungodly. That's it. Red flag number two. Sign number two. This is from Jude. I gave you my seven. Now we're on Jude. Another time we'll get to Jeremiah because he gives us a lot of time. Have you noticed none of these are like, oh, they just have a little bit of a different doctrine. Jude says this. They preach a mixed message. Okay, Jeremiah 23, 13. Moreover, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw an offensive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people astray. Why did it say they prophesied by Baal and led my people astray? Is they're mixing. They're mixing the message with Baal and the things of this world, what God is doing. It's all of this remixing secular music into the Christian style to be cool, trying to be like the world. Guys, I'm going to flat out say this. Again, I'm outing myself again. I don't even care. I have a good friend that does this constantly. Christian artists, let me just ask it this way. What business do Christian artists have doing music with secular artists? If all of your music is about sex, drugs, gangbanging, sleeping around, shooting up the block, and all of this craziness, and my music is about Jesus, what business do I have collabing with you? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Yeah, I have a fan on me. I don't understand this. Why are all these Christian artists collabing with secular artists? Like, well, they're reaching people. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But I want to remind you, this is what we might not realize. Are they reaching people? Yes. Yes, they're reaching people. All of that stuff. But you know what they're also doing? Is they're reaching Christians with compromise. Okay, so say you have an artist, and a Christian and a secular artist mixing together, and you're like, well, they're reaching those people of the world. At what cost? Because they're also reaching Christians with the secular message and getting Christians to go listen to their secular music of that artist that they're collabing with and giving Christians a license to listen to a bunch of secular music. It's absolute insanity. I don't understand it. I know, again, I'm outing myself. I just don't really care. It's mixing. It's point two is it's the mixing the message. There's so much carnality and worldliness in the church today. And God's like, I'm cleaning my church. I'm purging my church of compromise. The road that leads to life is difficult and narrow. Well, we want to be able to fit in. That's not what the Bible says. That's the problem, brother. The Bible says we're not supposed to fit in. What fellowship, let me rephrase it for some of you that still aren't getting it. What collab does light have with darkness? A collab is a partnership. You partner with them in a song. What fellowship? What partnership does light have with darkness? Literally. I don't understand these trends, guys. It's not right. It's not right. It's mixed. I want to be happy. Well, yeah, but look at now. They're being reached. Yeah, I want to be happy, but it's just, I don't know what to tell you, okay? Number three. So they preach a mixed message. They mix. They collab with the world. Ungodly. It's a false message. Number three, they deny the lordship of Christ. Write that down. They deny the lordship of Christ. They don't deny Jesus, but they deny him lording over people. Jude says this. They've denied our only master, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jude says. Here's a sign. They denied our only master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They say things like, well, Jesus is just our friend. Jesus is cool. Jesus is fine. Calm down. It's no big deal. And Jude says, no, stop. He's our master. No, you can't do whatever you want. I can do whatever I want. I can watch whatever I want. No, you can't. Not if you're a Christian. You can't just do whatever, smoke whatever, drink whatever, party wherever, do it, say whatever. You can't say whatever. You're a slave of Christ. I'm bound by the standards that Christ has placed in my life. So no, I can't just do whatever I want. And so if you ask these people, so they deny Christ as Lord. They don't deny him as Savior. They love that. Oh, Jesus is my homeboy. He's my Savior. That's all the celebrities. But they're going to hell. They're going to hell, says the Bible. Here's how you could test them. If you ask them in a major podcast or interview, is Jesus the only way? They would be like, well, no, there's no well. If I ask you in a podcast, is Jesus the only way? And you're on a big secular stage. Well, is not an answer. Well, so all the different religions. No, there's no well. It's yes. He's the only way. There's no other way. And then they go, well, so are you saying everyone else is going to hell? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Come on, Joe Rogan, invite me on your podcast. Yes, everybody else that does not follow Jesus, believe in Jesus, and submit their life to him are going to hell. Jesus is the only way. But they preach he's Savior, but they won't preach he's Master. Guys, he died a Savior, but rose as a King. He's Lord. He governs my life. He does not revolve around my life. My life revolves around him. He's not an add-on. Everything else is an add-on. He's not. Look at what verse 12 says of Jude. When these people eat with you in your fellowship, meals commemorating the Lord's love, they're like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They're like shameless shepherds who care for only themselves. They're like clouds blowing over the land but don't give any rain. They're like trees in autumn that are dead doubly. They bear no fruit. They've been pulled up by the roots. They're like wind of waves of the sea, churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They're like wandering stars. This is what he says about false teachers. They're like wandering stars, doomed forever to blackest darkness. Crazy. Jude says they could shipwreck you. I say, why are you so passionate? It's not a big deal. Guys, they can be the reason you shipwreck. Are you hearing me? They could be the reason that you lose your faith. They could be the reason that you're living a counterfeit Christian life. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal that you get this right, that you don't fall to this deception. Huge deal. Okay, number four. I'm almost done. Give me two more. I'm almost done. Number four is they claim authority from their dreams and visions. Verse 8 of Jude says this. In the same way these people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, there it is again, defy authority and scoff at supernatural beings. They're always dreaming. They always have a new dream. I know people that have prophetic dreams, 17 a night. I'm like, you didn't even sleep last night. How'd you have 17 dreams? There's always a new dream. They get authority from their dreams. It's crazy, guys. It's crazy. They claim, the Lord said. They say false things, but the Lord showed me in a dream. No, I'm looking at the word of God. I don't care about your dream. What does the word of God say? What is it, Jeremiah 23:16? Don't listen to them. They're prophesying lies. They're leading you into futility. They're prophesying out of their own visions and their own imaginations, not from the mouth of God. Jeremiah 23:16. Okay, number five. And then we're going to pray, and then I'll do a part two at some point because I made it through about halfway through what I wanted to say. Number five. And again, I'm giving you biblical signs of a false teacher, not, oh, they don't agree with my theology. They don't believe deliverance. They're false. I'm not talking about that baby, petty, stupid, calling everybody out type stuff. Okay, this is what we're doing here. We're giving you, what does the Bible say? Number five, they refuse any accountability and responsibility. Write that down. They refuse any accountability and responsibility. Jude says they scoff at authority. Whenever a false teacher, false prophets called out for their falseness, they evade accountability and they say things like, touch not God's anointed. Okay? They don't want to be accountable for their prophetic words. But the Bible says in 1 John 4:1, test the spirits. 1 Corinthians 4:29, judge prophecy. 1 Timothy 5:19, accountability. We need to hold people accountable. But what do false prophets do? They take to social media to discredit anyone who tries to keep them accountable, thinking that their platform indicates whether they're right or wrong. But no, it doesn't. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, help us. Come on, let's pray. Lord, help us to discern false teachers and false prophets. God, let us not be deceived and wander off into false theology. But God, I pray that you would keep us alert and discerning of what's happening. God, I pray that I would never fall into being a false teacher. I would never fall into being a false prophet. That I would never fall into any of these signs. God, keep me humble. Keep me broken. Keep me contrite in Jesus' name. Lord, bring them to repentance. Could God bring them to repentance? Yes. Yes, God can bring them to repentance. Absolutely. And I pray the Lord would bring them to repentance in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help us, God. I pray that you would help us, God, to be alert of false teachers and false preachers that are preaching another gospel. They're not preaching the blood. They're not preaching the cross. They're not preaching Christ is the only way. They're preaching a watered-down, loose gospel. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us, God, to walk in your Spirit. Help us to walk in your anointing in Jesus' name and to discern false teachers and false prophets. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys are enjoying this tonight. What a whirlwind it's been of trying to get the stream going. But hey, it's working now. Thank the Lord. And I deleted, let me see, did I delete the other one? I think I did. But I'm glad you guys stayed with me on this. I wasn't live for the last, about week and a half. So pray about sowing into the broadcast. Hold on, I got to switch something here. Stay with me. I have a couple announcements to make. Hold on. I just got to do something here. A little nerd stuff here, a little there, a little that, a little there. Pray about sowing into the broadcast. Because just to be transparent with you guys, what keeps us going is the live giving. That's what keeps us going. So when we're not live, it's a struggle, okay? So if you're blessed tonight, sow something. The Bible talks about it. I'm, again, not going to twist your arm. Not going to beg you for 45 minutes to give. I'm not going to say you're going to get a triple, quadruple, double cappuccino blessing if you do this. The Bible says to sow and you'll be blessed. The more you give, the Bible says the more blessed you'll be. So it is what it is. There's the links to give. Also, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. That helps us out tremendously. We cannot survive without all you monthly partners. Is it hot in your studio? You want to see the degrees? Hold on. It's that hot. I feel like I'm preaching from the Sahara Desert. It's 84 degrees, humid as can be, very, very hot. And I'm afraid to turn on my AC because I don't want to blow the power out, okay? Now, we're going to be live on Thursday at noon. I've been saying this every week. Something keeps coming up. I'm going to try to be live, guys. Once again, pray about becoming a monthly partner. What does that entail? It entails going to my website by scanning the QR code or my isaiahsaldivar.com/partner and sowing any amount monthly. When you do, you'll get an email from me with 70 old school sermons, 20% off the merch store. And every Thursday at 1 p.m., all of the monthly partners get together on Zoom and pray. So there you go. All right. That's what that entails. So please pray about becoming a monthly partner. I need to send an email about this because a lot of people do it for 1 year. So we've had a lot of people just expire their partnership. They're like, how do I repartner? You just go to the website. That's how you do it. So again, you guys are keeping us going. We're able to do this full time for free. We keep pushing. We've been at this for 6 years, guys. 6 years we've been going. Episode 213. Every week I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Help me, Lord. I feel like I've talked about everything and the Lord inspires me and gives me something to talk about. So I'm grateful for that. Keep praying for me, guys, that the Lord would keep speaking to me. It's a grind, but yeah. Okay, very important. Put your listening ears on really quickly. Very important. I'm going to give you two dates that are very, very important. First one is June 13th through the 14th. I need you to listen here. Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. Me and Alexander Pagani are doing a deliverance conference. That is Christ Fellowship Church, Dawsonville, Georgia. That is next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. Okay, and let me put up, hold on. There we go. Got to put up Carl for you. Next weekend, we will be doing the deliverance conference. Not this weekend, but next weekend. You need to register. You can go to my website. It's all through the church. You got to register, get a ticket, all of that. It's not my church. They're the one running it all. Please show up to that if you're in Georgia, if you're in North Georgia, South Georgia, West Georgia, East Georgia. If you're in the area of Georgia, if you're hours away, come to that. It's going to be powerful. This is a deliverance conference, so we're going to be doing deliverance on everybody. If you don't want to get deliverance, if you don't want to do deliverance, do not come because it's going to be a deliverance conference, which reminds me, I need to do a deliverance teaching soon, maybe next week. Okay. All right. Partnering is better than the YouTube memberships because they take 30%. Yes, absolutely. Next date, very important, drum roll, please. I will be preaching in Manteca, California. That's where I lived most of my life. on, what day is it? June 29th at 10 a.m. June 29th, 10 a.m., Christian Worship Center Life Manteca, CWC Life Manteca. I'll be preaching on Button Avenue, 786 Button Avenue. 10 a.m., big building, huge, huge. So show up to this. This is the church that we had the revival at when it first started. The pastor paid for me to go through Bible college. I was at this church for years. I haven't preached there in, how many years has it been? I don't even know. A long time, over 10 years probably. And so this is like a homecoming, very, very special. Very special. No, I think I'm just popping my breaker. It's a 20 amp breaker in my office and I'm running this AC plus my computer. It's just taking a lot of power. I don't know. It's super hot out. I think the AC is working overtime. I couldn't get the AC to work after. I got to figure this out, guys, but it is what it is. Okay. It is what it is. The show must go on. I can't risk the stream cutting out due to power. My internet was smooth today. Thank you, Jesus. But yes. Anyways, that's all that. Okay. You can also give on Venmo, Zelle, Cash App. It's all on screen, guys. I know I used to always read it on stream. I've just been running out of time, but I need to get back to that. It's the bottom line. But I want to hang out with you guys. Thursday, we'll probably do like a Q&A or call-in or something. So I'll be able to hang out more with you guys. But yeah, I need to just get on a random day and just talk to the chat. That's what I need to do. Because I was doing every day reading the Bible, talking to you guys every day, and I miss you guys. I miss talking to you guys. And then I'm rushed at the end of the stream. So yeah. How is there 900 people on? Oh, it must be glitched because it's showing 600 on my phone. The algorithm has changed. Oh no, 870? What in the world? Oh wait, no, is that 670? No, it's 670. And the bottom line is this. This is where we're at. Just to update you guys on social media and my live stream and all that. YouTube has basically not, they're not promoting live streams really much anymore. So that has been a huge hit for us. Not just for our channel, but for our income, for everything. Our ministry, we've taken a massive hit simply because we used to average 2,000 to 3,000 live viewers every time we were live. And during the pandemic, we had 4,000 live pretty much all the time. We used to peak at like 10,000 at times. And now it's like, tonight we peaked at 900, which is amazing. I'm happy for 100, but it's not 3,000 like it always used to be. And one of the reasons why is because YouTube does not promote live streams. They don't put it on the algorithm like they used to. So once in a while, we'll get on the algorithm and get a couple thousand, but it's just been a struggle, which obviously reduces the giving, obviously reduces the views, all of that. So that's where we're at with live streaming. It's a hard, how do I say it? I'm in a bit of a predicament because if I post our podcast and they're not live, they will literally get 4 to 5 times the amount of views. They will literally get hundreds of thousands of views. If I go live, they get 1/5, 1/4. So I'm in this weird place where I want to upload like these teachings and my podcast instead of doing them live and then do something else live. But at the same time, I don't want to do that because I want to build this live community. I love talking to you guys and I love the community that we've built. I love the community that we've built. So that's a bit of frustration. As of right now, I'm just going to stay live. I'm not going to do the podcast pre-recorded or these teachings because to me, I like engaging and I just like it live. It's just so much better. So that's where we're at though, guys. It is a bit frustrating, but we're building a community. We're building a community. Now, after our live in 5 minutes, this is how hot it is. So I'm excited to turn on my AC when I get off here. After our live stream, Jared and Candace will be live in 5 minutes. So you can either stay on here and it'll take you directly there to them for prayer and worship, or we'll post a link and you can go there. These are some of our literal best friends and they're amazing. So anyway, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to give into the pressure of getting more views by posting pre-recording. We're going to stay doing the lives, but I just want to say I appreciate the support because it is a bit of frustrating watching YouTube not recommending the live streams. And they've openly said that they're not recommending them as much. There might be a day where they are, where we're back to 3,000, 4,000 viewers. That'd be amazing. That'd be super amazing. But we just keep on going. We've had ups and downs. We were down for a while on that. And then all of a sudden we gained like 200,000 followers on the YouTube side, which is the video side. But the live streaming portion is different than the videos, right? So there's like an audience that watches the videos. There's an audience that watches the lives. And there's an audience that watches the shorts. Completely different audience. So yeah, Jared and Candace will be live in 3 minutes and it'll take you directly to them or we can post a link. What happened to my lights? They fell down, bro. They fell down. They're all on the ground like the Tower of Babel. They literally came crumbling down like the Tower of Babel. Okay, I'll post a link. Let me get it right now. It'll automatically take you there if you have autoplay on. And again, this is anointed prayer and worship. I'll post it right when we're going there. But I need to get on to just hang out with you guys and talk, because I could do this all day. I love talking to you guys. That'll be fun. Doing like a Q&A. I'll do that Thursday, but I want to also get on a separate time where it's not like a Q&A. It's just talking to you guys. You could pre-record Monday and Tuesday and be in the chat with us. Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not the same as being live, watching you, reading your chat, engaging with you guys. Plus, live is like fun, right? Live is like anything can happen. The power goes out. To me, that's kind of like, sounds weird, but it's kind of exciting. You never know what's going to happen. There's no editing. It's just crazy. It's just live. Yeah, I came in my office. All my lights are on the ground. So I was like, oh, cool. Salute, fallen soldiers. So I'll probably have to get, I'll have to fix those at some point soon and put them up with command strips and stuff, which is a pain, but it is what it is. Guys, I'll tell you right now, we were camping. It was like 100 every day. I am not going to hell. I'm telling you right now, it's 85 in here. I'm not trying to go to hell. Don't go to hell, guys. It's too hot. Also, the other day we had maggots coming out of one of our garbages that we left outside. Don't go to hell. It's hot and there's maggots. It's not fun. Don't do it. Don't do it, guys. I hate maggots. And the Bible talks about how hell there'll be mountains of maggots pretty much. So just stay safe. Stay saved. Life's always fun. Yeah, I agree. The lives are just fun. Twitch is the worst. I would get banned on Twitch in 10 seconds. They're the most woke, liberal platform ever. I guarantee if I was on Twitch, Deborah, I would get banned in like 13 seconds. I'd speed run getting banned. So remember old studio? Let's go. Let's go. I'm probably should build a new, like, you know, background in studio, but I just can't be bothered. I don't know. I got too many kids. Yeah, I would literally get banned so fast on Twitch. There's no iced coffee in hell. So if you like iced coffee, don't go to hell. Because there is no iced coffee. It's served hot even on the hottest day. Oh, there's no coffee in hell, but there's no iced coffee, that's for sure. What's the difference between a spiritually dead preacher and a boring preacher? I mean, a spiritually dead preacher is boring, but a boring preacher is not always spiritually dead. Some people like, you know, monotone. I gotta be careful because I don't want to call anybody out, but just like boring. I would call it just like boring. I don't know. What other word is there? I don't know. The worm never dies. Yeah, it's crazy. Twitch, there would be no, I don't think there would be much of an audience on Twitch. Our audience is on Facebook and YouTube. And Facebook, yeah, anyway, I'm not here to complain all night, all right? That's not what I'm here to do. This is where we're going to go right now. I just posted it. A little post for the boys. There you go. That's where we're going. When they go live, we will go there. Prayer and worship is there. Do you know your YouTube streaming anniversary? I don't. I could probably find it out, though. I don't know it, but I can find it out. Oh, no coffee now because every good gift comes from up. Amen, brother. Can you tell people again about your long sleeves? It's shirt addiction. What does that mean? Someone said chat, parentheses, chat GPT. What does that mean? Your forehead's less shiny than usual. Are you serious? It feels more shiny. I'm sweating. I'm literally sweating. Me and Daniel Adams are no longer friends and we don't do anything together. So no, I will not be having him on. How am I less shiny? What in the junior bacon cheeseburger? My forehead's super shiny. Livestream's the only real church a lot of us have. True, 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 true. Oh, it's so hot in here. Are you using OBS? Yes. Am I still doing my live in-person streams? Yes. Will Deliverance Conference be live streaming? I'm not sure, but go to my website, find all the info there, and yeah. All right, there's 630 of you on here. Let's stay on and go to Jared and Candace's. All right, let's do that. Let's do that. Sounds fun. Does that sound fun? Sounds fun to me. You're rubbing it more? Dude, I'm sweating. I do wear short sleeves, actually. As of this year, I wear short sleeves all the time, and I wear tank tops all summer. So, just on my live, it's just like, it just feels weird, to be honest. They're live? I have their stream up. It doesn't show them live yet. They must have just went live. Oh, yeah, they are live. Thank you. I had the volume down. All right, soldiers, I will see you Thursday at noon, and then I'm going to do a surprise stream in the next few days. I'm going to jump on and just, yeah. I'm going to go turn my AC on. I can't wait. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. It's 90 degrees where I live right now. I will see you guys on Thursday. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.